Fuck you! Australia! Germany!
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Minute past the hour, and we have made it to Friday on the front porch, on the horn, on this, the final day, the 31st day of March, 2017. Yes, indeed, yes, indeed. This is the horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That is where you go. If you would like to jump into the multimedia madcap, real-time, zany, wacky extravaganza, that is the Horn chat room, where you will be greeted if you do only so much as picking yourself out a screen name and a password, and it's all free. All you got to do is do that, and you'll be in the room, and people like Anatole and Hawk Rider and Jug of Punch and Squeaky 41 and VT Blom will all say, "Hi, howdy, how are you?" And you will be capably moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky. Who I guess it must not be that wonderful a day out in Northern California. Well, no, he's probably no. Sparky's there at Op Central because we'll be doing Friday on the front porch in a little bit. That's why he hasn't folded space, because he can, you know, Sparky. He folds space. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and this is a listener-supported program, and being as how things worked out the way things worked out last night, this one may come down to the wire for the month of March for Norsky nudging and Lithuanian licking, because we've got $295 to go to finish the month of March. And I'm happy to announce that Ralph's has put a $25 challenge on the table right quick to get us started this evening. That means that would take us down to, if that gets met right quick, that'll take us down to only $245 to go, and we'll see what happens from there. If you want to help out, you can always just go to HeadOnRadioNetwork.com and click on the Contribute tab, then click do your thing there. Just it's real easy. There's a little box there if you want to become a subscriber. It says make this a recurring monthly donation. If you want to check that box, put $10 in it. Mr. Soros, you can put $10,000 and go from there. I had an email earlier today. I got an internet, as poor dead Ted Stevens used to say. I got an internet earlier today. That reminded me of why it is I may be mistaken in thinking we don't have any subscribers at the end of the month, because we didn't have any subscribers last night either. Bob wrote in and suggested to me it could be that back during February, everything that was supposed to happen on the 29th, 30th, or 31st just all got booted to the 28th. But really, there's not that much on the 28th either. But that could be it. But anyway, we don't have any subscribers today that I know of. And so if you'd like to become a subscriber, that would be awfully handy. But anything under the sun in terms of helping us knock down a $295 fundraising goal to get to the end of March so that we can nudge the Norsky and lick the Lithuanian. So there we have it. It's easy to do. $5, $10, whatever. And hopefully we'll knock out $295 this evening and finish March to the good. Okay? Okay. If you prefer the United States Postal Service, the mailing address is The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, Beckley, WV 25801. So that gets the preliminaries out of the way. Like I said, it's Friday on the front porch here in about 55 minutes or so. We will fire up the Horn Molloy Skype chat group, capably moderated for lo these many, many years now by Sparky, again, indefatigable, inveterate. And he will, well, if you'd like to participate and you never have, you need to you need to fire up your machine and put Skype on it, and then send a contact request on Skype to Sparky Dunk, Sparkydunc, one word, Sparkydunc. And he will then show you which quadrant of the sky to look in when he fires up the Bob signal, and he'll show you the breadcrumb trail into the chat room, into the Skype discussion group, the extraordinary ordinary roundtable that is sort of unique to the Horn, and which it's one of my all 5 days, five favorite days of the week, as long as we're talking. But I really get a kick out of Friday on the front porch, because having everybody talking together makes for some really, really, really fascinating discussion. So that's how you do it if you want to. Of course, we maintain the stress line as well for folks who can't cope with Skype, and you can always dial into 304-663-4676. And that'll get you into the group too. The stress line, as I've noted before, the stress line works for some and not for others. It may be a metaphysical thing. It's really kind of hard to say. But that's where we are. And that'll all kick up in about 53 minutes now. Another little reminder, next week the program will be a little bit different, because we will have only a two-hour program Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, because I'll be filling in for Mike Molloy from 9 to 11. So I'll do the 2 hours of this program, and then at 9 o'clock we will fire up Molloy's campfire and gather around and sing campfire songs and roast marshmallows and have a high old time. So I hope you'll be there for both events. That pretty much takes care of, I think, everything. So where does that leave us as far as getting started on the conversation for this evening? Well, it's been a rainy day in Mount Colby-gone here. And, you know, sometimes those rainy days can lead to trouble, ancient trouble, because we've all read Cat in the Hat, right? If it hadn't been a rainy day, the Cat in the Hat would never have showed up. Thing one and thing two never would have made all that trouble. And, yeah. So that left me thinking, you know, things to do on a rainy day, at least here. And I came up with a sort of a game. I like to call the game, What Kind of Crime Is It? Now, we lay people can speculate as we wish. It's possible that we may get some more expert help when we fire up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable in the form of, say, Billable Rick. But for our purposes, we can just start by, you know, what kind of crime is it? Now, by way of introduction, let's set up a little background. Earlier this week, I asked if Sleazy Spice had managed to exceed Ron Ziegler from the Nixon administration in having a not so great relationship with the press. And so it's pretty hostile. But the whole White House apparatus is pretty hostile. But to look back to the Nixon administration, the one thing that finally, ultimately, brought the man who Harry Truman referred to as Richard Pinhead Nixon, learned that at my daddy's knee. The thing that brought him down were, among other things, witness tampering and obstruction of justice. And so with that in mind, I came up with this game. Again, called What Kind of Crime Is It? And it's a game we're going to play with a Trump tweet. Now, understand, in order to really make this stick, we'd have to, we'd have to prove that he actually sent the tweet and that somebody else didn't. And I had a little back and forth with our buddy Isaac the other day about what he was tweeting with these days. Apparently, he has moved over to an Apple iPhone, having finally surrendered in his war against Apple, and having for the longest time tweeted from a crappy, insecure, unupdatable Samsung Galaxy S3. But more than he has moments in English, access to that account. But for purposes of our little game this afternoon, we're going to take it as read that he, Donald J. Trump, Comrade Kumquat, Marcus Aurelius, the pumpkin spice Führer, actually sent this tweet. It came out this morning at 7:04 a.m. I'm guessing it's another case of twooping. I know you don't need the mental image in the dinner hour or anything, but him kind of hunched over on the pot and the phone in his little orange hands, and Twitter's open and bad things happen. This looks like twooping. See, I was nice about it. I didn't say this smells like twooping. Because I'm classy that way. Mike Flynn should ask for immunity. Okay, and that's the other part of the background on this. Michael Flynn, two-week national security advisor, shortest tenure in the history of American national security advising. Mike Flynn is now looking to roll on someone, and is floating the idea that he would like to have immunity from prosecution in return for turning snitch. Which got me to thinking about something. And maybe this is a little bit tangential, but consider, if you will, the profound competence of the Congress, well, not the Congress, but of the Senate of the United States, the Senate Intelligence Committee, because it's the Intel Committee, I do believe, that confirmed Mike Flynn as National Security Advisor. I mean, he really was in the post for a couple of weeks before it turned out that, well, he was a slippery, sleazy, slimy, nasty. Well, we knew all about that when he was standing at the podium yelling, "Lock her up!" Not possible now that he's admitted it relative to the Turks. A foreign agent. Do you remember? Because I don't. Do you remember days and days and days of hearings on Michael Flynn before the Senate Intelligence Committee? Round after round of questioning, piercing queries as to his competence for the job? Or do you remember, as I think I do, that in those heady early days of making America great again, Michael Flynn's confirmation going through the Senate like shit through a goose? And 'cause that just popped into my mind. And it struck me that they're really there really wasn't much noise about it. There wasn't a lot to be said or known or heard. Everybody just looked at him and said, "Well, he's been general and everything." Right? Yeah, but anyway. So he just went right through. The Senate didn't think twice about it. And we had ourselves a brand new national security advisor who lasted 2 weeks, who had all the integrity of a cuckoo. Isn't it the cuckoo that lays its eggs in another bird's nest and it, right? At least that's what I mean, okay? Ah, okay, well, that's why I don't remember it. Thank you. Thank you, Billable Rick. National Security Advisor doesn't require confirmation by the Senate. That makes sense, then. There we go. So there was nothing for the Intelligence Committee to do. The Mac with a note saying, treason? Enough said? What the? Now there's that. But we haven't gotten to the actual game yet. But at least that clears that up in my mind as to why I didn't remember any piercing questions or incisive inquiries. By the way, as press secretaries go, Ron and Raleigh notes, my favorite press secretary, when you talk about BS-slinging press secretaries, you have to include Ari Fleischer. When he left W's employ, he was hosed down on the runway, a tradition, I'm told. One commentator quipped that they were washing the bullshit off of him. They can wash it off of him, but they can't wash it out of him. That requires a different set of hoses. So back to the tweet, or the twoop. Today. Liked by 45, well, never mind. Well, thousands upon thousands. Mike Flynn should ask for immunity in that this is a witch hunt, excuse for big election loss by media and Dems of historic proportion. So now we can play the game. And the name of the game is, which crime was that? Was it A, obstruction of justice? B, witness tampering? Because it's... It could, I don't know, maybe it could be either one. That particular tweet has received 34,800 replies. It has been retweeted 14,400 times. And it has been liked. Remember the little panel whose audio we had last night? Remember them? Yeah. It's been liked 56,400 times. Yes. So, which is it? I think it's a damned interesting little question. Mike Flynn should ask for immunity in that this is a witch hunt excuse for big election loss, comma, by media and Dems, comma, of historic proportion, exclamation point. I tend to think it, I tend to lean more toward obstruction of justice than witness tampering, because I think for it to be witness tampering, you'd have to prove maybe that Mike Flynn read that. On the other hand, if you're trying to whip up, gin up, the fury of the Klansmen and the neo-Nazis and the birthers and the skinheads and the misogynists and the racists and the bigots and the homophobes who form the coalition that managed to get you into the White House, and they in turn are supposed to threaten or pressure people who might have the power to investigate these sorts of things. That smells a little more like obstruction of justice. Is it just me, or I mean... Because, see, I keep applying the, I call it the Hillary. Oh, my God, Hillary Clinton, Jesus Christ, she wants to start World War III. Oh, gargle, bargle, Hillary. Oh, Goldman Sachs speeches. I call it the Hillary Clinton test. To wit, if Hillary Clinton had tweeted something like that, at, say, 7:04 a.m. on 31 March 2017 as President of the United States, the Freedom Caucus and all the birthers and deathers and ninthers and tenthers and booger eaters and baggers and birchers and libertarians and Republicans. Well, they would have had the impeachment papers filed in, with the clerk of the House by 10:01 a.m. They don't come to work at 9. And the hearings would already be underway. And I don't think that that's an improper standard to use. This is, I mean, I've grown tired of that phrase, new normal. But the idea that that this is a new normal where a guy who behaves like a 70-year-old toddler can do anything he damned well pleases, and a Congress that is sworn to defend and uphold the Constitution does absolutely nothing. It's an unpleasant idea. But because I am Bob Kincaid, little ray of sunshine, let it not be said that I didn't present something to hang our hats on. Because the other thing that the Clementine Caligula has done is decide to go to war with the Freedom Caucus. You know, his own party. For all the reverence that's doled out for zombie Ronald Reagan, nobody ever bothered to tell the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini about the so-called Reagan 11th commandment. Thou shalt not criticize a fellow Republican. And it has served that party well. It has made them in many instances an absolute dreadnought, because it provided no opportunity to make them want to break ranks. But in the wake of the flameout of Paul Ryan's and Donald Trump's attempt to throw tens of millions of American people off of health care and kill a significant portion of them in the process, well, Donnie doesn't like losing. And especially when it was a matter of deal making.
Because, you know, The Art of the Deal, I mean, I wrote that book in crayon, and then other words got put with it and stuff, but it's my book.
Well, he got plum whipped, and the whole White House took it on the chin. And he's still stinging over it. And so it was that yesterday, again, in a morning twoop, he said,
the Freedom Caucus will hurt the entire Republican agenda if they don't get on the team and fast. We must fight them and Dems in 2018! Exclamation point.
Thereby going to, I mean, how many people are there in the Freedom Caucus? There were certainly enough to, and they are some sick, sadistic bastards. Let's make no bones about that. But there were enough of them to torpedo his big dream of killing a few tens of thousands of Americans. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's 33. And so he's gone to war with 33 Republican members of the House of Representatives. People like Trent Franks of Arizona and Mo Brooks, because you always want Mo Brooks and not Les Brooks in Alabama. And noted abortion opponent, unless he's paying for his girlfriend to have one, Scott Desjarlais of Tennessee, and Justin Amash of Michigan, and the noted Appalachian Trail hiker, Mark Sanford of South Carolina, and Bill Doberman, I mean, Raul Labrador of Idaho, the congressman no one can seem to find, Alex Mooney of West Virginia, and, of course, Louis Asparagus Gohmert of Texas, and it wouldn't be the Freedom Caucus if it didn't have well, wait a minute. I got ahead of myself on that. Where's Steve Cantaloupe's King? You'd think he'd be Freedom Caucus through and through, but he's not on there with his buddy Louis Asparagus Gohmert. But he went to war with his own party. And bless his hateful little heart, Trent Franks of Arizona said, if somebody can get to the right of me in the primary, God bless him. Because that's, you know, that's the nature of the threat, is that he, Donald Trump, will personally come and defeat Freedom Caucus members. Another Freedom Caucus weirdo, this one from Ohio, and not Jim Jordan. Might have been Warren Davidson, said, "Oh well, he can bring Air Force One, Marine One, and Amtrak One for all I care." And okay, so that was funny. Amtrak won. I mean, okay. It ain't every day we give a cowbell out to a member of the Freedom Caucus. But, this says something. They're openly mocking him. They're making fun of him. They're saying that they are more secure in their congressional districts, and there's not much that the Tangerine Tiberius can do about it. Which in itself shows a crack in the armor. But just to give us something to cogitate upon, How about this? Oh, I know. I'm Michael in Madison. Come on, Bob. Why are you so concerned about a crime? Complete with a meme of Sean Spicer, furry cosplayer, holding his in his Easter Bunny suit, holding his Easter Bunny head in his hand, with a quote from Sean Spicer, "The unmasking is what we should all be concerned about." You know, it changes everything with Scott Spicer. When you look at him up there with his necktie and his shirt and everything, and suddenly you see him in an Easter Bunny costume. Thank you, Michael. Thank you. Thank you for that. I deeply appreciate it. But something to think about. What if, I know. This is a great big whopping giant what if of a what if. What if those 33 members were to get together with the Democratic membership of the House and decide that Trump had to go? I mean, this isn't particularly big thinking, but it's kind of a fun, it's a fun little thought experiment. There might be the numbers might be there. Remember, you got to have about 216 votes to create the necessary numbers for a majority. Mm-hmm. 'Cause there's 435 members of the House. And there are 190 some odd Democrats. And if you add 33 to that, I think you get over 216. Now, I realize that we're talking about something that is right next door to impossible. But it still has the advantage of giving hope. Because otherwise, you've got him, we've got him, the world has him, until January, at the earliest, January the 20th, 2021. Which, if the last, 31, 8, 39, 59, 60... If the last 70 days has been any indication, feels like an awfully, awfully long time. I feel like we've already lived through the entirety of the first 4 years of Bush in 70 days. And I get the idea that other people feel the same way too. Is there anybody in the House of Representatives with the talent to pull together a coalition like that? Oh, by the way, all over the TV this morning, or view screen, or whatever we're calling it now, was a clip from Mike Flynn going back to an appearance on Meet the Prestitutes. Because the goddess of irony is, in fact, a good goddess. This is from September 2016. And it's not going to play. Because old computer. That's okay. I can tell you what he said. This is after, of course, this is after the con in Cleveland, when he stood on the stage and led the assembled mouth walkers and knuckle breathers in chanting, "Lock her up! Lock her up! Lock her up!" And far in the distant distant corner of the hall, I think, if we did a camera analysis, you could probably find Jill Stein going, "Lock her up! Vaccinate her or something." Sorry, just couldn't resist. God, I despise that woman. But he did. He led the locker up chant. And then in September of 2016, having been invited on to Meet the Press, there to be asked piercing, incisive questions by Joke Toad, he stated the following: "When you're given immunity, that probably means you've committed a crime." And among other things, he went on in October in Pennsylvania, talking to the mouth-walking knuckle breathers there. He said, Trump said, "Did anybody else ever see so many people get immunity? Everybody. You're guilty. You're guilty. We'll get everybody immunity. Well, what do you need to investigate if everyone's going to get immunity, right?" 8 days later, he posted, "Attention, Ed Hillary Clinton. Why did 5 of your staffers need FBI immunity? # big lead truth. # debates." Oh, now that's just mean. I said vaccinator, and Steve in New York said, "Expose her to Wi-Fi! Expose her to Wi-Fi!" Everybody's getting in on the act. When you're given immunity, that probably means you've committed a crime. Adam Schiff, meanwhile, said the public should learn a lot more about why General Flynn wants immunity when Sally Yates testifies before the House Intelligence Committee. Just a little reminder out there that things are getting bad, not better, for the Peachy Pasha. And after a while, it begins to feel like a race against time. What will happen to this country if he is not removed from office? I mean, I honestly wonder, the Freedom Caucus is only in the House of Representatives. But I don't know if they were actually called upon to finally do something involving their consciences and standing up for the oath that they took to be senators. Lindsey Graham, I mean, as long as he had John there standing beside him to starch him up a little bit. Lindsey Graham, John McCain. How about that noted Republican moderate Susan Collins of Maine? Because you're going to need 67 votes, even if he was impeached. If he was impeached and it went to the Senate to try him, you would need 67 votes to get rid of him and remove him from office. And that means that... that's all the Democrats minus Joe Manchin and Heidi Heitkamp, both of whom, by the way, have announced that they're gonna vote for Neil Gorsuch because they believe that black men who drive trucks should have to freeze to death in the winter. Man, that Joe Manchin, he is a man of such courage and integrity. You'd need all the Democrats, and then you'd need a substantial handful, about 20 Republicans. You think there's 20 Republican senators who secretly are worried about what this man is doing to our country and are worried enough to vote to convict him and make him the first president ever removed from office subsequent to impeachment? Bill Clinton and Andrew Johnson survived their Senate trials. Andrew Johnson by one vote. Nixon doesn't count because Nixon tucked tail and turned and ran after he made a deal with impeach Earl Warren Gerald Ford. Sit, Liberty, sit. By the way, Steve in New York, you have been awarded a cowbell for Expose Her to Wi-Fi, courtesy of Billable Rick. Cowbells for Steve from New York for his comment about Sparkle Fart powered pony Jill Stein. Expose Her to Wi-Fi. Oh, thanks, Larry. Thanks very kindly for jumping in. And thanks, Marcy. That means we have met... Ralph's challenge, which means that we have only $240 to go to finish March, where we need to be, and lick the Lithuanian and nudge the Norsky. Yay. Note coming in from Alma. Subject line. Hi, Alma. Seems like Trump is trying to take on the Koch brothers who own the Freedom Caucus Tea Partiers. Well, I don't think that's too far off, Alma, because if I recall correctly, there's not a lot of love lost between those two. Those two, I mean, on the one hand, Trump, and on the other hand, Chuck and Dave. Doesn't Chuck and Dave sound like some sort of crappy sports bar where the fries are all soggy? And the wings just suck? It is going to get more interesting, though. One other thing on, as far as Neil Gorsuch is concerned. On the one hand, it was interesting to see Howard Dean tell the Democrats to filibuster Gorsuch, or they will never raise another dime. Okay, if that's the reason to filibuster Gorsuch, I guess, okay. I think the fact that he's one of those compassionate conservatives who's willing to let truck drivers freeze to death might be a little bit more of a compelling reason to filibuster him. Insist on a cloture vote. And if you do like I do and engage in a little bit of morning self-abuse, and you watch the morning news programs, and you bounce around to, oh, it started. Just because you guys picked on me I now bounce from Morning Joe to CNN's New Day to Washington Journal. Sorry, Todd, man. I'm not trying to muscle in on your gig, okay? But I do. I've added that to the rotation. And so there's this theory that the Democrats should go ahead and just let Gorsuch in without a cloture vote, and let him get in on a 53, thanks Heidi and Joe, to 47 number, so that when a really, really seriously nut job Republican nominee comes along, maybe to replace somebody like the notorious RBG, that then they can use their filibuster to make sure that they get somebody a little more centrist and Kennedy-like in there. And you read stuff like that, and you hear stuff like that, and do they just have like those APAP machines, and is there just a steady stream of nitrous oxide flowing into them? These well-heeled political consultants, so that they just wake up giggling and come up with stuff like this. What kind of assumptions do you have to make about the likes of chinless Mitch McConnell in order to have something like that work for you? Because, see, chinless Mitch is going to blow up the filibuster one way or the other. Because he's Mitch McConnell. And he's ruthless. There have been no ruths anywhere near Mitch McConnell for eons now. So, say the Democrats insist on a 60-vote majority, and McConnell says, fine, you didn't like your filibuster much, did you? And they go, okay, don't do it, man, don't hit us again, man. All right, then, okay. And so the nut job comes along. Well, what happens then? He blows up the filibuster. Because the nut job is more important than Gorsuch. Now, for all we know, by the time he gets his little Supreme Court robe on, maybe Gorsuch will go, and pull off the rubber mask, and it'll really be Antonin Scalia. But there is so much wrong with all of this. Whether it be Merrick Garland, and the way he was treated, you know, when the Senate of the United States decided that they were only going to let Barack Obama be 2/3 of a president. Hey, that's 6 points more than being 3/5, buddy. Or whether it's the fact that every blessed thing in the world about the Trump administration is now subject to question because we have no idea, none, how deep the tentacles of corruption run through the executive branch now. There are 100 different reasons for not letting another nomination go through. I don't care if it's the 15th undersecretary for dog catching. It doesn't go anywhere. Until we know beyond a reasonable doubt exactly how compromised the Amber Fuhrer is. Yeah, Larry says, LOL, this is like Trent Lott's bitch Tom Daschle all over again. What the fuck is up with the Dems, man? Remember what mealy-mouthed, do-nothing, rollover artist old Tom asshole was? Oh, yeah, I do. All Trent Lott had to do was just look at him cross-eyed. And Tom Daschle would wet himself, and you know, the Republicans would have their way. And then, when it wasn't Tom Daschle, it was Bill Catkiller Frist. I don't know why it is the way it is. But that's the way it is. Let's see. People who would not vote to convict Donald Trump in the Senate upon impeachment. Chuck Grassley, who is still out there writing letters to the State Department asking about the security clearance of Hillary Clinton?
Oh, Jesus, Hillary Clinton. Oh, my God. We would have been so much worse off under her than we are under Trump. Good God, what a warmonger. Oh, fuck.
The Hill published a story stating that Grassley, even though Hillary Clinton does not have a security clearance and does not get a security briefing, Bill does, Chuck's still out there writing letters trying to find out how much she knows. Writing to the chairs of the Judiciary Committees, or committee, any other government workers who engaged in such serious offenses would at a minimum have had their clearances suspended pending an investigation. The failure to do so has given the public the impression that Secretary Clinton and her associates received special treatment. It is unclear of what steps the State Department has taken to impose administrative sanctions.
Jesus!
I mean, okay, if that was 31 March 2016, heat of the campaign, sure, why not? Because, you know, that's what they did. I mean, that's just how it was. But she's not even in public life anymore. And whatever the little cornworms are that live inside Chuck Grassley's head and you know, burrow through the remainder of his brain tissue at night, they keep telling him that Hillary, oh my God, Hillary. Or maybe he's just reading Jacobin or something like that, who knows. So there we go. There's the filibobster. We can continue to play our little what kind of crime is it game. What crime is it? Ah, see? When we go to the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable, which it is now time to do. Remember, if you have never participated in the Friday on the Front Porch Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable, just send a contact request on Skype to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc, one word, and he'll show you the breadcrumb trail for getting into the conversation. Okay? And we've got $240 in fundraising to go to finish out the month of March. One at 240, two at 120. 4 at 60, 8 at 30, 16 at 15, 32 at 750, 64 at 375. Any way you want to do it. We just need to finish March. But good. So break time while we fire up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. The stress line is available for those of you who can't quite manage Skype for one reason or another. And we'll see where the conversation takes us from there. Oh, bumpers, bumpers, bumpers. Why not? Because this always makes me feel better. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. Love those horns. Ah, horns, see?
Never, 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 never
Yeah, a little Earth, Wind, and Fire for the for an early spring evening, and hopefully the torrential deluges that have been with us all day will let up. And now we are going to keep getting rained on all the way through tomorrow. And Saturday, too. And Monday, and Tuesday, and Thursday, and Friday. Oh, goody. Well, this isn't exactly going out like a lamb, but it beats the hell out of being out of power for a damn week at the beginning of March. Knock wood. Oh, for God's sakes. Okay, good enough. Well, let's run over to the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable and check in with Sparky. Hey, Sparky.
Hey, Bob.
What's happening?
Well, I'm not out in the man cave tonight because of the goddamn wind.
Oh, I thought maybe you had to be at Base Station Sparky to run the group.
No, I mean, it'd be too noisy out there.
Yeah.
The man cave talks when it gets windy.
Whatever.
Shakes, rattles, and rolls, you know.
Yeah, but what about poor Donnie?
Hey, Donnie scared the fuck out of me the other night. I go walk out to the shop, and as soon as I open the door, I see a tail right in front of my eyes, and he's going right over the top of the door header, scurrying away. And I mean, just startled me when I walked in.
You know what? That could be, Sparky, that could be a motto for the next 4 years. Donnie scared the fuck out of me the other night.
Well, he's doing that every day.
Donnie's got to go in both cases.
I mean, did you see that video of him walking out of that signing ceremony today?
What was that? I mean, I didn't see it. I read a little, but what the hell happened?
Oh, all I know is there's like a 30-second clip of him. He's standing at the podium. He's talking about how wonderful and great this will be and everything. And then all of a sudden he just stops and he goes to leave. And then the one guy from CBS that used to be on Fox, can't remember his name, just in the White House. But he hollers out a question about what's going on, and he just turns and walks out the door, and then Pence reaches over and grabs his arm, and he just looks around at Pence and is like, get the damn thing and bring it with us, you know, and he walks out.
Oh, for pity's sakes. Would you say this is on a par with leaving by the closet moment in China that time?
Yes, exactly.
I don't see. I'm still convinced he's not all home. He's a you know, a bulb shy of a chandelier. Mm-hmm. The spirochetes are kicking his ass.
Well, I had another moment this week, kind of a, I had a what less Nesman Wild Kingdom moment.
Yeah.
I'm looking out the door, the big door on the man cave the other afternoon, and here comes sashaying around the corner a turkey. So I watch him, and he goes wandering out by the pomegranate bush. Then comes another one. Then another one. And then another one. So I go running in the house. I go into the house, tell Judy, and then I come back out so she can see him. And I get back out there, and there's eight of them. So they all kind of line up, and they start heading down the driveway past my neighbor's shop and the cyclone fence. And they're all lined up. The neighbor's dog kind of gets an eyeball on him, and he runs out and smashes into that fence. And all of a sudden, all those turkeys go up in the air and fly. So they don't fly far, but they fly.
Oh no, they can fly. These are the kind that can.
Yeah.
As opposed to the less Nesman, you know. As God is, well, the big guy, as God is my witness. Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was Major Garrett, some
Larry, okay. Yeah.
Somebody in Skype told me.
Oh, it's just
but those get... are those are my 2 minute moments of the week.
Well, you know, the nice thing is when you get around to it, you can dispatch Donnie the Rat with more with a lot more prejudice than you don't have to impeach him.
No, we're gonna live trap him,
and you don't have to rely on a Republican Congress to let you do it.
No.
Got a couple of notes here. The Mac said, it appears that the fascist will have to step down. He will be kindly asked to go away or else. Otherwise, the situation will become a constitutional crisis. There are too many people involved because, remember, the data keepers have blackmail on all of us if they should choose to use it. Well, the only place I would differ, it would be to say that we're already in a constitutional crisis. It's just that a lot of people don't realize that, because the whole system has failed. Meanwhile, note coming in from Steve in China, that's the gist of it, Bob. Potluck. As Americans, we tend to have a sort of affection for the office of the presidency, even when we don't particularly like the president, even when we know he's a scoundrel or a boob or a player. W, Tricky D, even JFK all come to mind. But this asshat has disgraced the office, and our confidence is restored only in a process that begins in the House. Yeah, that'll take the starch out of you a little bit. That's the whole thing.
Hello?
A process that starts
here we got it.
In the House.
Hold on, I got to turn my radio down.
Please do. We got a newbie in the group.
Yeah, I see Larry just jumped in.
Mm-hmm.
Who I guess will be Larry 2.
Larry 2, the fraternity of Larrys.
Well, you're not. No, you got to have at least three to have a fraternity.
Okay. Yes, I'm Oregon Larry. Absolutely. Yes. Hey, everybody. How are you guys doing? Bob, it's so great to finally interact with you. I'm kind of nervous, actually. And Sparky, it's good to hear your voice.
Well, you're doing fine so far, Larry.
Nobody bites.
You know, you guys, I had a leak in my roof, and I tried to get it fixed through the insurance company. But I'm like Peyton, I found out that Nationwide wasn't on my side. That's just a little lame joke.
So are you all worked up for Saturday?
Oh man, I'm so nervous, Bob. I can't even think of anything else hardly. I'm just dying for an all Pacific Northwest final with Gonzaga and Oregon. So because you know, like I'd message you, I'm sure the CBS execs and the advertisers back east are gonna love that. The 9
Oh, you just want to see them all commit ritual suicide at the same time, don't you?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the calls go in those two games, especially if it gets down to, you know, with Oregon and North Carolina and Gonzaga's already won. I'm just be really curious to see how the calls go. I'm not paranoid or anything, but I'm really just dying for an All-Pacific Northwest final.
Because, you know, Gonzaga's got such a humongous fan base. I mean, Jesuits will be tuning in from all over the planet.
Yeah, that's true. They until recently, I mean, they were whiter than Mississippi, that team. So, yeah, exactly.
Hey, Larry, how are you? It's Rick.
Hey, Rick, it's a pleasure to talk to you. How are you?
Doing fine. Hey, just a second.
Oh, Rick got beeped.
You know, Bob, with all this going on in West Virginia, you would almost think that it was Virginia that separated to go with the North instead of West Virginia. So I'm not sure what the hell's going on there, but
Man. We're so screwed up. And maybe I'll get some grief for this, but Agnes pointed out something to me the other day. After last year's legislative, do you remember last year's legislative debacle with the raw milk?
Yes.
Where the West Virginia, the majority, the Republican majority that gave us freedom and raw milk, proceeded to vomit all over the Capitol after celebrating with raw milk. Well, now they've declared they've formed themselves an industry lobby group.
Oh, wonderful.
It's like the WVRDA, the West Virginia Raw Dairy Association. And
you know, what is it with these white fascists?
Well, the funny thing is some of them are ostensibly progressives. And They're trying to fight back against big milk.
Oh, okay. Can't they think of another cause to take on?
Too much time on their hands.
I don't want no cow shit in my milk. Thank you very much.
Well, I mean, we'll see what they're doing, though. Big milk is ripping you off, okay? Because, like, they sell you the milk, but they've already taken the cream out of it. And then they sell you, make you pay again for the cream. And then they make you pay again for the cottage cheese. And then they make you pay again for the sour cream. And then they make you pay again for the buttermilk. Big milk. Big milk is terrible. Corporatists. And you know what? I'm sure some of that is true. I don't like bovine recombinant growth hormone. I don't.
Right.
Yeah, that's disgusting and ooky. And,
oh, yeah.
Some stories you read about it, the word pus comes into play, and you know, I just don't like stuff with pus in it.
No, I don't either. You know, Bob, it's just like you were talking about on a show previously about, okay, all these animals that are here that we use to eat and all the waste they produce and all the methane, and we could be using that area to grow vegetables. I'm a vegetarian myself, not for any political reason, just because I don't like meat, but since I've been a vegetarian, I've realized that, yeah, I mean, we're using all these animals, slaughtering them, and then, you know, all the waste that they produce, you know, by pissing and shitting everywhere. It's just, you know, it really disgusts me, and I'm not going to get on a soapbox with that.
No. I understand, Larry, because, I mean, I'm becoming an involuntary vegetarian.
Bob, we're
probably the crankiest vegetarians.
Well, you know, Bob, this is going to sound weird, but I've heard you say that before, but I think all of us are slowly, our bodies are slowly becoming vegetarian. I know that sounds crazy because I'm into some kind of weird stuff, but I think our bodies are slowly pushing us in that direction of eating lighter foods, salads, smoothies, things like that, you know, instead of filling up on all this meat and prime rib and whatnot. And I understand if you like it, it's hard.
I mean, I do. I really do.
Oh, yeah. If I liked it, I couldn't have quit. I mean, I'm a complete addict. So, I mean, I would have never been able to quit meat if I did. So I feel for you on that.
But the thing is, I mean, you know, there's a lot of places where now I'm not talking about CAFOs or anything. OK, Those are disgusting. But there are a lot of places on Earth that you can't grow food, but you can graze animals.
Right.
So, I mean, some of the, you know, I understand your argument, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, you got to survive, totally. You definitely have to survive, you know, and I can understand that. I have no judgment at all. Like I said, I quit because my body wanted to, and I didn't like meat.
Well, and I don't think we're supposed to eat a whole bunch of meat. I don't think that's the American diet is not a healthy diet, and that's science and some common sense.
Well, you know, Bob, the problem is for me is, right, you have all these fake hamburgers. You go to the store and you see vegetarian corn dogs, vegetarian hamburgers. I don't like that kind of stuff because to me, if I was going to eat that, I would just eat that. I can't.
You don't want to eat pretend meat.
Right. I don't want to eat fake corn dogs and, you know, veggie burgers. And there's plenty of other stuff I can't think of right now that you see at the store that looks like it's, the meat product, but it's vegetables and God knows what mixed together. And I just can't do that, you know.
Well, I'm just tired of everything I eat making me howl in pain. Apparently, last time I was at the doc, the doc was like, I'm starving. Look at the weight I'm losing. He goes, well, you know, I said, you know, I'm trying to be good. I'm trying to gut rest and all that. I'd say just like eat what you can tolerate. But at that point in time, it becomes a matter of experimentation.
Right.
And so the other night, because Tuesdays are two for Tuesdays down at the terrible pizza parlor. You get two terrible pizzas for the price of one. I tried to be somewhat sane, so I ordered a cheese pizza and I got two.
Ooh, my favorite. Yep.
Okay, so I didn't eat a whole pizza. I ate maybe four slices. Not big slices.
Yeah,
not like, you know, New York utility pizza on the street slices. And
right.
Then by Wednesday night, I was in agony.
Yeah, I can't handle pizza anymore either. I had one last night, of course, I put Tabasco and crushed red peppers on mine. But yeah, I made the mistake of eating a whole pizza, and I realized I'm not 20 years old anymore. Oh, God.
And so, you know, I'm just trying to... I'm eating a lot of yogurt. Some cottage cheese. The upside is that I'm eating ice cream. I get a little dish of ice cream every evening.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot say enough about Breyers plain old chocolate ice cream.
Ooh, Breyers is good. Absolutely.
No GMO, no recombinant bovine growth hormone. And somebody there has a heavy hand with the cocoa powder. And that person is my friend.
That's true. Their chocolate ice cream does taste really cocoa-y. There's no question about it.
And so I'm...
Well, Bob...
Yeah, Steve.
Bob, just imagine if you were trying to digest one of those Carl's Jr. triple bacon cheeseburger that hot blonde is drooling over the muscle car. Have you ever seen that commercial?
I've not only seen that commercial, I've had that burger.
Yeah. I think Karen's not home, so I can say this. I think I'd rather have the hot blonde screw the burger. You know?
You just said that in front of the whole world. Somebody's going to rat you out, Steve.
Amen, Steve.
Yeah, amen, brother. But, Bob, aren't those called Hardee's back where you're from?
Yeah, over here it's Hardee's. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, it's same thing. And I believe they're part of the Trump administration. Oh, that bunch.
No, the
Puzder, but he was outed.
He removed his name from consideration.
Okay. I knew there was a connection.
That was a win.
Yeah, the problem with him, Oprah basically caused him to have to out himself because she played the tape or dug up the tape of his wife complaining about, you know, how she'd been abused by him. Or his ex-wife, I guess it was. So.
Oops.
Yeah, what a cheapskate. Isn't that the son of a bitch who wanted minimum wage laws to be abolished?
Yeah, he doesn't believe in minimum wage.
He thinks Lochner was rightly decided.
And he thinks it's okay to harass the women and the staff, too. You know, you can diddle your women. That's cool, you know.
Yeah, those white Republicans usually do. Those fascists, you know, any way they can obstruct. I think they've been doing it since...
Oh, by the way, since somebody mentioned the word diddle, I have a Ralph Shorty update. Remember Ralph Shorty?
Oh yeah.
Ralph
from West Oklahoma.
Ralph Shorty, the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered evangelical Republican from Oklahoma who was caught with a rent boy in his motel room there at the Super 8.
Yep.
Well, the cops have gotten hold of the texty texts.
Ooh.
In which, and I'm sorry, this is graphic, and I apologize. I don't do this for prurient interest, but this is merely a matter of quoting. There's an affidavit filed by the arresting officer, I presume, that attests to good Christian family values Republican Ralph Shorty saying that he wanted to pay the boy for sexual stuff and later telling him, "I'm going to fuck you like a good little boy if you keep calling me daddy." And I'm going to get all over. And I'm going to get all over that boy pussy, baby boy.
Oh God, that's disgusting. Is that the guy that told the kid to bring some weed with him and bring a pipe?
Yeah, that's the one.
Oh, you know, out here in Oregon, if we don't have a pipe, we just use a crushed pop can. But that's a whole other story.
Well, I don't think, Larry. I don't think that's an Oregon thing.
Oh, okay.
You can use an apple or a toilet paper roll. I mean, anything will work.
Why is it always these Republicans that get caught in this shit? These really upstanding moral, you know.
Well, because the Democrats and progressives and whatnot aren't afraid to be gay.
Yeah.
But see, this guy's out there offering up all kinds of bizarre family values, legislation, and shit like that. So he can't do that. The only way, you know, the only way he can have sex is with the lights out, with his wife, for the purpose of making a little baby for Jesus.
Yeah, and only in missionary position, right?
Exactly. And they have to quit the minute he gets done.
You know, Bob, on a serious note, this is a serious issue because we make people like this. We don't address this issue as a society, that it's okay to be gay, that it's okay to be who you are. And so you end up with fucking low consciousness fuckwads like that that do this and fuck other people's lives up forever. It makes, you know, it's sickening.
And it's dangerous and it's deadly.
Yep.
According to WTVM Channel 15 in Wisconsin, a man by the name of Andrew Nesbitt, who in 2011, you know, 6 years ago, survived a hate attack for being gay. Well, this past Monday, he was murdered. He was beaten near to death on Christmas Eve 2011 outside a gay bar in Oshkosh. And now, he's been outright murdered, and a man named Derek E. Anderson has been charged in the killing. So, yeah,
Bob, can we nominate people for cowbells for comments that they leave on the chat here?
I don't think so, because that's
snark isn't.
By all means, share it, but I don't think it can be cowbelled simply because everybody can't participate.
Well, snark,
not to be all rule oriented or anything.
I gotcha. Snark wrote a comment about how, you know, Bill, Mr. Shorty, is so repressed that he has to use a hole in the sheet.
Nice.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, and by the way, Steve and Karen and little Cletus and little Twiggy just put a challenge on the table to help us finish March okay. And if this challenge is met, it will take us down to $190 to go. There's a $25 challenge on the table, courtesy of Steve and Miss Karen and little Cletus and little Twiggy. And Cletus and Twiggy are good puppies. So if that gives somebody, if somebody will match that $25, we'll be that much closer. And yeah, at that point, 190, one at 190, you know, 19 at 10, 10 at 19, et cetera, et cetera. So thank you very kindly to Steve for doing that. And hopefully the challenge will be met in short order. Just got a note from Michael in Madison in defense of fake meat. Michael says, I'm not a huge fan of fake meat, but some of it's all right. However, I will say this in its defense. Come on, man. It ain't like hamburgers or sausages come straight off the bone looking like that. That, by God, gets a cowbell. Processed is processed. I live in Wisconsin, and I ain't never heard of nobody hunting or slaughtering a meatloaf. That's two cowbells. Now, if the vegan textured protein product is made to look like an actual chicken leg or slice of bacon, yeah, says Michael, that's kind of weird for me. I mean, that, yeah, because that would be, I mean, that at that point, you've moved into the realm of the bubblegum cigar, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I've seen textured protein bacon, and it's kind of like dry, you know, it's kind of like dry humping, you know, what's the point?
Do you like hummus, Bob? You know.
Oh, no, we've had that conversation. I love me some hummus.
Yeah, my fiance, a redhead from Scandinavia, turned me on to it, and it is pretty good.
But as I was having a conversation, I forget if it was Margie or my older daughter. I draw the line at Baba Ganoush. I do not like Baba Ganoush. I do not
Never
like
it,
Sam.
It.
I am. Well, it's like hummus, only it's made out of mashed up eggplant.
Oh yeah.
Right. I mean, I tried it once, like 30 years ago, and never again since. And that's pretty unusual for me, because I like about everything. I do. I like about everything. But there was just some kind of... I mean, hell, I'll eat boiled okra, for Christ's sakes, and that puts off 99% of the population, boiled okra. But no, Baba Ganoush, sorry. But at this point, we've moved into food porn, and I'm just getting hungrier. I've gotten to where I keep a jug of cruelty-free, free-range, non-GMO, vegan, organic orange juice back here for when my sugar begins to drop low. And that, you know, that is the upside of some of this. I keep losing weight like this, I won't be diabetic anymore.
Exactly. But hey, Bob, I was curious, what are some of your guilty fast food pleasures? Like, do you like Taco Bell occasionally or anything like that?
Around here, I don't have a lot of them because the places that I love for fast food aren't around here.
Mm-hmm.
If we had one, I'd probably be at Popeye's two or three times a week.
Yeah, we don't have those. Or White Castle's. I always wanted to go to a White Castle, but I've never been within 1,000 miles of one.
And that's the other thing we don't have anywhere. Now, it's not White Castle. It's the different version. It's the more southernish, I guess, version. And that's Crystal. And I can knock down a dozen Crystal cheeseburgers without even thinking.
They're small like White Castle. Okay.
Yeah, they're tiny, but they're different. They're not quite the same. Pickle, onions, mustard, and then cheese if you make it a cheeseburger. And the nice little steamy square bun. And you can just about cram a whole one in your mouth at one time if you're really, really dedicated to the proposition. What else? Well, like I've said, the little barbecue joint, and it's the only place on earth I can get them. Little barbecue joint down where I grew up, the hot dogs there. I told Agnes the other day, if it turns out that it ever comes to it, I've decided I'm going to commit suicide by hot dog. I'm just going to go
well,
down.
Bob,
there.
Have you?
Yeah, just go down there and start eating hot dogs until it's over.
So, have you ever been to the Varsity then in Atlanta?
Oh hell yes! Two all the way dogs walking and a jumbo FO. Steve knows from the Varsity, don't you, Steve? Steve?
Hey, sorry, Bob. I was on another call, man. Yes, yes, very familiar. In fact, they got, like, Varsity Juniors sprouting up all over the place.
Yeah, but the fun one's there on North Avenue, right?
Yes, yes, which I was very close to. And speaking of that, 85 is on fire. You heard about that.
I saw that last. Holy God.
Yeah.
So they stored a bunch of electrical cable underneath an elevated portion of I-85.
Yeah.
And
some Einstein, yep.
And somebody got it to catch fire.
And now that you know that's a major artery, well, you when you work for
well,
CNN,
it's up there,
you know
it,
the deal.
Yeah, it's up there. It's up there. It's up there near where it near the intersection of Georgia 400, isn't it?
Yep. Yep. And I was just at City Winery off of North Avenue, so I was just there last week. So I know exactly what they're talking about. And if you shut that artery down, it's going to create chaos.
Well, so what are they doing? Diverting traffic and turning it into two-lane traffic each way on the other side?
I suspect. What other option would they have? Or detouring it around through back roads, which, oh boy, that'll be a lot of fun, you know.
Yeah, one wrong turn on the wrong peach tree, and the next thing you know, you're in Jacksonville.
Yeah. Or being on Spring Street for 3.5 hours. That'll be a load of joy, won't it?
Sounds like I-85 paradise.
I read it really screwed up the opening night of the new Braves stadium.
Yeah, some heads are going to roll for this one. You guarantee it.
Oh, I forgot the Bravos. I forgot the Bravos were getting a new venue.
Bob, I just wanted to welcome Larry to the porch. We've never met. Larry, my name's Steve, and welcome, brother. Glad you're here, man.
Thank you for the warm welcome. Thank you, guys, really. Thank you, Steve. It's a pleasure to meet you, man.
Pleasure to meet you as well. Go ahead, Bob.
I wanted to get clarity into the conversation. Clarity, good evening. Thank you for joining us.
He was there a while ago.
Yeah, I thought I heard her.
Is that BC Martin or?
That's Clarity. Yeah.
Oh, that's Clarity. Okay.
I'm sorry, I was in the other room.
Oh, that's you gave up on us, didn't you?
No, I wanted to listen to the new guy, and I just wanted to say that back in the day, I was a pure vegan for like 6 years, but I developed a bunch of allergies, so I eat meat now, but I can't do dairy at all, and I can't do any wheat, so I'm on a pretty simple diet, you know, rice and beans, and I can eat oats.
Can you do stuff like quinoa and
you know I can, and another grain that's really good is millet.
Yes,
that's easy to digest, and it's kind of sweet. It's good for making, you know, baked things with.
Ooh, I need to check that out.
I'm gonna have to change. I think I'm gonna have to change out on brown rice. Because it's supposed to be the highest one in arsenic.
Well, especially if you're buying it from, no offense, Sparky, California.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where that...
Yeah, I've
that's
heard
where,
that as well.
That's where the huge arsenic scandal was, wasn't it?
Yeah, in the Central Valley, yeah, there's a lot. You don't want to eat your rice from there. Definitely not.
But I've heard the basmati... rice, which is a little more expensive, and it's not as good to, you know, to mill up for baking, but it has like only about 20% as much as the whole grain brown rice.
Well, I love basmati. Of course, that's a That's a really, I mean, that's, I think of that as an ultra long grain rice.
Yeah, well, it's just a little out of my price range.
Yeah, it's it is. It'll set you back. Jasmine is a little less expensive than basmati. And of course, okay. I'm a huge fan of Japanese sticky rice.
Oh, see, I'm more towards the whole grain thing. That's just kind of the way I don't like doing white rice, and the sticky rice is just, well, a little less milk.
Well, and it, like at international markets and stuff like that, I remember seeing Japanese, you know, sushi style rice, but it was whole grain. It was brown rice. So international markets may carry that sort of thing.
And back in the day when I was living in California, I would make, I can't remember the name of it now, fawn, where you just take and you keep adding water to it till it just becomes like a mush. And it's very easy to digest.
Huh.
In fact, if you're having trouble with uptake, that might be something you might consider as a base for your soups and things. You put it in your crock pot, and you put in like 5 cups per cup of rice.
Wow, thanks for the information. I've been a French fry and salad guy for a while, and it's good to hear. It's good to get this information.
No, if you're going towards pure vegetarian, you can't afford to get your calories from bullshit like that. You won't be healthy for very long.
Okay.
In fact, you probably should be, you know, eating foods that are, you know, very nutrient dense and not fat and calorie, you know, refined calorie dense.
Okay. I don't suppose this non-filtered Camel cigarette I'm having is helping at all either.
You know what? I smoked way too long. I quit 15 years ago this month on the 15th. Is my anniversary date, and I used to ride around on my mountain bike with a cigarette in my mouth. That's how messed up I was.
Yeah, I started at 37 after a divorce. Who in the hell starts smoking at 37?
Well, you got to put something in your mouth.
Wait a minute. You know,
you're here.
Oh, that's my first cowbell.
That's Clarity's first cowbell.
And also,
don't fear the reaper. More cowbells.
And also, I'm outing myself to America today as Trans Visibility Day.
Oh, is that really today?
March 31st is Trans Visibility Day. I can't even say it.
Okay.
But yeah, it's Trans Visibility Day, and. I went to PT this morning. I'm rehabbing my arm. I broke my wrist in November.
Ow.
And yeah, it was last year was a bitch. You know, I broke my collarbone and my wrist in two places, about 6 months apart. So I'm just getting now back to feeling strong and healthy again, you know, so that I don't feel like I'm going to hurt myself doing any type of, you know, lifting and the stuff I normally need to do just to pack my stuff up for a gig.
See, if you were going to tell us that you broke your wrist on your bicycle, I would have told you if you'd been smoking your cigarette, your wrist would have been fine.
Exactly, but I probably would have did a face plant, and then I would have had major dental work, and I wouldn't be able to play my horns anymore. So I try to keep my face from hitting the pavement first.
So you play brass?
I play woodwinds.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm a sax maniac.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Bob. I thought I put that in my little cover letter I sent you.
I didn't recall seeing the part about the sax. I knew you were a musician. I knew you had a long history of playing in bands, but I didn't recall the sax.
I play tenor, alto, and soprano sax and flute. And then when I do a single, I play piano and guitar as well.
Well, see, I'd seen you with a guitar, so maybe that's where the confusion came in.
Oh, did you like fucking the dog and selling the puppies?
That was precious. That really was.
Yeah, that was inspired. Speaking of Wisconsin, we had a bad agent that, you know, he would lie to both ends, and then we'd end up there, and the club would look at us like, you're not what he's, you know. You're not what the agent told us. We were going to be a country and western band, and we were told it was a top 40 lounge. You know, so we were spending all our time learning the top 40, and we go in there, and they wanted to hear Urban Cowboy.
And yeah,
let me ask you this: did you get beer cans thrown at you while you were trying to play that?
you went right straight to the Blues Brothers, didn't you, Rick?
Absolutely.
Well, we played in a club that we had a corral, a split rail corral around the band, and I figured out why. But yeah, when the Blues Brothers came out, I thought I almost pissed my pants. I laughed so hard because it was real life, you know.
Probably where they got the idea from it. The bar you played in.
Oh, everybody that's been on the road has been at least in one of those. We played in a place in Rochester, Minnesota, and it had two. It was like the tide going in and out. We would open up and play two sets of country, you know, loungy, you know, drinking, crying your beer stuff, and then all these guys that worked the morning shift would leave. And you could hear, it was like thunder. All these bikers would come in and fill the bar up, and they wanted us to rock out. And it was
so
just...
So then you had to switch gears to your Iron Maiden mode.
Yeah, we had to switch gears. And the thing was, being in the town with the Mayo Clinic, we all caught the flu that week. So we were all just like on major, you know, over counter, whatever we could do to get us to keep from throwing up, you know. And so whenever anybody would come around the bandstand, it was just like, don't talk, you know. So we got a reputation as being like a bunch of badgers, and they loved us. But at the end, you'll love this. At the end of the night, the bouncer would walk around with about 28-inch, 30-inch billy clubs and hit them on the tables, and the drunks would kind of like set up and they go, get the hell out of here, I don't want to see you anymore. It's just like
my kind of place,
out of Mad Max almost.
Yeah, it was. Anyway, back to Wisconsin, we went for and it's Friday, we went for, you know, all you can eat fish fry, you know, you're there in
Fish fry in Wisconsin. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, it tolls the distinction of the only place I've ever been in my life, Bob, that I was refused service. But it wasn't because I was gay or trans or anything. It was because we had an Asian guy in our band.
What?
Yeah, we had a Filipino guy in our band, and they wouldn't serve us. They didn't say that. But, yeah.
Wow. Well, I got a question for you, Clarity. Coming from GK, the bar in Rochester, was it the North Star Bar?
Oh God, you would test my, no, it was, God, I want to say Old Style or Old Something. Oh shit. It was right, like.
How long ago?
There was railroad tracks. It was 80.
Okay. And it was by the tracks?
Yeah, we were like in between two neighborhoods, I think.
Well, I will bet you that in probably, just the way things usually work out hereabouts, I'll bet you that within, 15, 20 minutes' time, we'll have a name of the bar for you.
Oh, okay. Anyway, our agent was in Little Chute, and his name was Gary Van Zeeland. And he wanted to send us to Japan because his claim to fame was he was the agency that discovered Cheap Trick.
And they were huge.
Yeah, from Boudica, I think.
But they spent like 3 years over there working, you know, six nights a week, working hard, you know, to get their act down. But it was horrible. We had to pay two different agencies, and you were working like 13 nights in a row with one day off. And you had to tear down between sets because it turned into a disco and your equipment wasn't safe. And it was just like, oh, yeah, that sounds like a dream.
Hey, Larry, quick question. Did you end up playing in Budokan or not? Like Cheap Trick did, you know, that famous live album that made them famous?
No, but I was just mentioning in the chat, you guys brought up the Blues Brothers. The idea for that came from when John Belushi was, they were filming Animal House about 2 hours from where I'm at, and he was in a bar one night called Taylor's and saw this act, and then he went back and pitched it to Lorne Michaels, so I had to throw that in.
Well, and it took a lot less time for us to get the answer about Rochester Clarity. GK tells me the Depot House.
Okay, all right,
I imagine there's not a lot of bars that...
I have one more memory from that.
Okay.
We had to play 6 nights plus Saturday afternoon matinee.
Oh, that had to be a real joy after Friday night.
Yeah. A jam session, and all week long everybody was going, "Yeah, you got to get Rocket up there on stage, man. This guy is an amazing harmonica player." So, anyway, finally Rocket shows up towards the end of this jam. It's like about 3:30 in the afternoon. And he gets up there on stage, and we played, I don't know, a Billy Joel song. It had a little break in it. And we went, all right, hit it, Rocket. And he plays this pretty hot solo. And I turn around, I'm singing, and I turn around to look back, and he has passed out. And like laying flat on his back on the stage, he finished, he hyperventilated or something and just fucking just passed out. So that was the Rocket Man story from Rochester.
He asphyxiated himself.
That's almost as good as throwing yourself into a crowd to be caught when they actually don't catch you. You know, they let you drop.
That would like be my fear.
School of Rock.
That would be my fear.
Yeah, yeah.
Amazing.
Bruce Springsteen does that. He jumps into the crowd and lets them, you know, kind of move them along a little bit, you know.
So did you ever have one of those Hello Cleveland moments? You know, like when you were in, you know, Detroit.
I think the weirdest thing I remember, we were playing in Deadwood, and. Our drummer just had, well, he's on the spectrum, we find out later on, but he just had this real dry sense of humor, and somebody requested a country song, and we had had enough of that. The club owner told us we could play what we wanted. We didn't have to take requests. And so our drummer goes, okay, here's a Hank Snow tune. And he click, 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 na, 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 you know, cocaine. And he goes, that ain't a Hank Snow tune. We were like, no, it's not, but that's.
No, but it's there's a, snow involved.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I get it.
And every place we went, actually, we got that requested 2 or 3 times a night because it was on the top, you know, on both charts, on. Because Clapton covered it, and yeah, it was every bar we played in, they wanted to hear cocaine.
Yeah, because it makes everybody feel like such badass.
There you go.
Exactly.
Hey, speaking of Clapton, I unfortunately had my concert. He canceled his concerts that were scheduled for Los Angeles this past weekend. On account of having severe bronchitis. And I saw a picture of him being wheeled through the, it might have been JFK Airport, because I guess he was flying home to England after he'd given a couple of shows like a week earlier in New York City. So he's rescheduled the shows for the show was to have been Saturday night. It's now set for Wednesday, September 13th. I'm thinking, oh, geez. You know, I might switch my date to the 16th, which is a Saturday night, because, you know, a concert on in the middle of the week, not as festive, you know what I'm saying?
No.
But you don't have the traffic issues to deal with, so that's a plus.
Yeah, and I can actually commute with the guy that I, the bookkeeper who works here, because he works Wednesdays, and we could just drive to the forum together and, you know, save on parking and, you know, transportation costs. So that would be a plus as well. And that's actually the first of the shows that he's going to do in L.A. So maybe I will keep the Wednesday date just because he'll be fresher, you know, ostensibly.
Oh, yeah, you got it. You got to go. I mean, did you already buy the ticket?
Yeah, I bought the ticket.
You buy the ticket, you take the ride.
Refund.
But that'll be rough on you because that's when you're billable. That's when you move into billable Rick mode.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's true. September 13th is after my billable season is over, so I should be okay there.
I'm going to just jump in here because we're right at the top of the hour. Steve and Ms. Karen and Cletus and Twiggy's $25 challenge is still on the table. And if that's met, that'll take us down below the $200 mark. And I hate it when we come up against the end of the month and we've got to race to make the goal so we can nudge the Norsky and lick the Lithuanian. But that's where we stand. We've got a $25 challenge on the table. If it's met, that'll take us to $190, and then we'll start working on the $190. Let's just kind of moving around in the conversational group. Let's check in with Snork. Hey, Snork.
Hello. Is my mic working?
It appears to be.
Oh, great. Well, I'm just watching all the news this week, wondering what's going on. I'm starting to think that, maybe Trump does have Alzheimer's.
Say again, I'm sorry.
The getting up from the signing thing today, that maybe that's a sign of Alzheimer's.
I think for those who care to watch for it, there are a bunch of signs of some sort of organic brain process failure. I saw him walking away from Marine One on the White House lawn recently, and he looked like he was shambling.
Mm.
And Bob,
I don't mean to stick my big snoot in here, but me and you and I have had this conversation many times. My mom has Alzheimer's, so I recognize, you know, the warning signs. And Mitch is right. He's spot on. I'm going to toss it back to you guys. I'm sorry I interrupted.
Well, no, I was just going to throw out there that not that I put a whole lot of stock in what he writes. Mike Allen of Politico, who now apparently has this thing called Axios. Just little, like, mini blurbs or whatever. The lead paragraph reads as follows. Trump brought his chaos and loyalty theory of management into the White House, relying on competing factions balanced by trusted family members, with himself perched atop as the gut instinct decider. Yeah, thanks to the reign of error, decider is now a damn word. He now realizes this approach has flopped and feels baffled and paralyzed by how to fix it. Numerous friends and advisors tell us.
His brain is in the process of rewiring.
Or unwiring.
And another thing that that bothers me about the administration is the tendency to be stepping away from funding research that we need. We're already having problems with limits on researches that seem to be put in place by the companies that would have their ineffective medicines wiped out by something that actually works on the market. The one that comes to mind right away is a doctor I'm collaborating with in Italy. When I asked her some questions about IBS, which is one of her fields, and she said that in the incidence of IBS, which is irritable bowel syndrome, it includes things like Crohn's disease, in Europe is falling off, where it's rising here in the United States, and it's falling off drastically over there. What they did was they actually funded research in it, and here it's kind of blocked. This same woman on a team tried to get funding through MIT with some other scientists and could not get it. It was pretty much seemed like it was blocked. But in Europe, they filter all the milk for one particular organism, and they take it out, and it happens when you have cattle that are out grazing where you have confined chickens, and the confined chickens tend to carry this organism. It gets to the cows, and then it gets to the milk. So it has to be filtered out there, and we're hardly even allowed to mention it here. You can lose funding at your university for other research if you try to fund or search the wrong questions. And that's wrong, and I feel it's going to get just nothing but worse. If it's working over there and intestinal issue related illnesses are just spiking here in the United States. There's all kinds of contaminants, all kinds of things that people can encounter. And we basically, on our labels, if we're going to still have any labels after next year, use words that disguise what's put in the food. Sometimes they take something that's completely innocuous and give it a big word just to add more confusion and camouflage for the other contaminants that are really severe issues. I know that I have issues with, because I take cholesterol medicine, especially for lipids, that I can't have any exposure to grapefruit.
Yeah, anything and, grapefruit, yeah.
And a lot of the anything that says pink on it, like pink lemonade, is because actual grapefruit is cheap. They will not only use it for grapefruit, but they'll say natural flavoring, and they will use it to give you the bite of a strawberry without the complete strawberry flavor. Your brain kind of fills in the rest for a really cheap strawberry substitute. So anything that's artificial strawberry that says natural flavoring, that pretty much means that it's grapefruit. And that's a horrible problem for me and a lot of people. And it's not even spoken about in the news. I've never seen any American medical issue bring it up. If I didn't have friends that were into biochemistry, I wouldn't even know about it myself.
I would say anything lemonade related too. They could sneak that in, couldn't they? Snort.
They could. Lemons are luckily even cheaper than grapefruit, so they wouldn't do that.
Okay. But, all right.
But
okay.
If lemons suddenly were in shortage, yes, I would start suspecting that.
Yeah, but guys, we live in a nation where some places they want to teach the Bible in chemistry class, so this shouldn't be of any real surprise, you know.
Well, it is used in math class in some places.
Well, what was it last week? Last week I had the story about Mercer County, West Virginia, where everybody from first grade to fifth grade, or maybe seventh or eighth grade, has to have Bible study once a week in the public schools.
Hmm.
So.
Have it. Pi is defined in the Bible.
Yeah, as three.
Bring back. What? And that's congressionally mandated, Bob? Am I hearing you right?
No. This is just something that the Mercer County Public Schools decided to do.
Oh, okay.
And I think it's all over. I think it's in other parts of the state as well. And fortunately, the ACLU has sued. Thank you very kindly to Sharon. Thanks, Sharon, for jumping in. We got $5 left to go meeting Steve and Karen and Cletus and Twiggy's challenge. Thank you, Sharon, very kindly indeed. You said it's pies defined in the Bible. What is it? It's the Book of Kings in the Old Testament, I think, that defines pi as three. Just three.
I think we should bring back slide rules.
You know, they actually taught me to use one of those in chemistry class.
Protractors, yeah.
They taught me to use a slide rule in chemistry class in high school. And I thought it was the niftiest little thing I'd ever seen.
Did your instructor have one of them big, huge slide rules that hang off the chalkboard?
Oh, hell yes. The woman who taught us...
That's forever burned in my mind. Mr. Enloe's class.
Well, this was...
Chemistry.
This was a chemistry teacher who was simply referred to as the Gaunts. And the Gaunts, I think a year or maybe 2 years after I left high school, was voted the best science teacher in the United States by the American Chemical Society. She was a hell of a teacher, and ruthless. You're a little 11th grader. You think, okay, I'm past 9th, I'm past 10th. Now I got my feet under me. And you walk into her classroom, and the first thing you see, painted on the wall by her clock, time passes. Will you?
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, that's profound.
And she was deadly in earnest. But I've told the story before, I think. She was proud of the fact that no one who had ever passed her class in chemistry in high school had ever gone on to fail College Chemistry 1. And I passed her class in 11th grade. And I think, you know, maybe with a B or something. But I was... This is kind of like me watching Mountaineer games with a blanket over my head through a crack between two fingers, or what has now evolved into me not watching at all because I'm convinced I'm why the Mountaineers lose. I went on to college, and I got my sciences out of the way by taking geology. I really would have liked to have taken chemistry. I could have taken chemistry, but I was not going to be the guy who broke the Gaunts' streak. And so I didn't take college chemistry. It's kind of pathetic, really.
Bob, come on, tell us the truth. You took it because you just didn't want to. You weren't afraid of, you know, failing, were you?
I was terrified of it. I was terrified of failing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, an English major, why the hell would an English major want to take organic chemistry or whatever that is?
No, just basically.
You don't need to.
Well, no, you had to have it. You had to have two semesters of A science.
Well, yeah, that's true. I actually took rocks for jocks. I took like geology. That was
well. That's what I took geology too, because at the same time, I was toying with this notion of going into archaeology, and I thought a little geology might not be a bad thing to go with that.
Yeah. I enjoyed rocks for jocks, and I also enjoyed astronomy as well. So, you know, yeah, geology wasn't that hard. That was why it was called rocks for jocks. A lot of the athletes took it.
I think that geology should be a required class myself. Too many people make too many mistakes, especially when they buy houses in California, that they don't understand geology.
Yeah.
You're right, Snork, because I remember the one time I rode the train from here to Chicago. You know, we got to Indiana and turned right or something. And looking out the window at all these McMansions, and we'd crossed a couple of streams here and there. And I remember thinking to myself, those places are going to flood all the fuck. And that might be more geography than geology, but I think we got a little bit of that along the way, too. You know, learning about, and we learned Mohs hardness scale and that kind of. Oh, that was a blast.
Yeah. How many mountains of coal can you remove before you strike an earthquake?
Well, Bob, this is not so much of a rough segue now. Thank you, Snork. But I thought I read today that Peabody Energy has gone bankrupt and 23,000 employees were going to lose their benefits. Do you know anything about that?
That's an old story.
Yeah, it's an old story.
Rape and run. Same thing they did in Four Corners they took all the good water and left the Navajo Nation with nothing, you know.
That's exactly it.
It may be old, but all these folks were Trump supporters. That's the ironic part of it. I can't say all of it. That's a blanket statement. But I would say a majority of them were.
And
well, what's Congress is starting to talk about taking away all pensions.
Right, right.
Well, exactly. See, there are a bunch of retired UMWA miners who at the end of April will not get their pensions anymore. Because bankruptcy, because Republicans. And Joe Manchin has introduced a bill in the Senate that would at least restore their pensions, on our dime. And Mitch McConnell's holding it up, won't let it through. Mitch McConnell from Kentucky, who loves him some coal miners, spent 8 years talking about that Obama war on coal, and now it appears there's a McConnell war on coal miners.
Well, I didn't think it was that old. There must be an updated component because I just heard about something today related to it, and I just posted some links, and they're active today. So there's an updated component where they're really fixing to bend these poor folks over, man.
Let's see. Did you did you post that in the chat room too?
Yeah, posted it in both places.
I wanted to comment also back a couple of topics back to labeling food. I testified in a FDA hearing in Oakland, and there was two things that they were saying that the industry didn't want to put ingredients listed because it was two things. One was they're generally regarded as safe, so therefore it's not, unless they're a typical allergen, the egg, soy, blah, blah, blah. But the other thing was that by revealing all the ingredients, they would reveal, they could back engineer stuff. And so it was a proprietary thing, and it was protecting their interests rather than worrying about some child that uses Aquafresh toothpaste and has anaphylaxis and dies because they don't list an ingredient that they're allergic to.
It's funny that you mentioned Aquafresh toothpaste because I once bought it and used it, and my inside of my lips got all swollen. Maybe it was a bad reaction to it.
Well, it's really nasty stuff, Fluoride is a waste product from the aluminum industry.
Wow.
And they thin it out into, really low parts and put it into our water supply, but they put it into everything. And it does kill a few bacteria and stuff, but really it doesn't, it's the act of brushing your teeth, not the toothpaste, that keeps your gums healthy.
Yeah, that's true. But I always feel better if I can use toothpaste instead of just a dry toothbrush. But what I was going to say about fluoride is, I think it clearly is a communist plot to steal all of our precious bodily fluids, don't you?
Well, not only that, I wish I had bodily fluids now after I had one of my surgeries. But the other thing is that I think what sucks most of us is television. I think it's a very toxic influence on our whole culture, And since 1995, going back to the radical roots, that Telecommunications Act also included Rupert Murdoch getting his foothold into a media. Before that, there was no way that an Australian person could get that much control.
Well, he had to get U.S. citizenship, basically.
Well,
I think
exactly.
He was sponsored.
I wonder if, paid to, take care of things for him with the Congress.
Well, the thing is, the immigration law provides two ways to get citizenship. You can either wait in line or you can pay like $1 million or $2 to get U.S. citizenship. Or you can, I guess the third way is to serve in the military, but that doesn't guarantee anymore that you're going to get, citizenship. You might just as likely get deported under, the new regime anyway,
Yeah, well, that Congress that Gingrich led, that you know, remember the contract on America? I mean,
contract on America. Yes, exactly.
Contract on America. Well, they, you know, that was the first time they had lobbyists actually set and writing legislation right next to a, you know, just blatantly write, you know, writing legislation right there, you know.
Well, you know, it's kind of reminiscent of the tobacco lobbyists who would like hand out like currency on the floor of the Congress. You know, Bob's talked about that before.
Boehner Bucks.
Yeah, let me see if I can find a picture of Boehner with the guy. Yeah, I got it here somewhere.
Hey, I was actually going to ask anybody, ask folks here on, in the group if they heard any of the testimony at the Senate Intelligence Committee on the, you know, Russian cyber operation. Basically, it was a...
Oh, now, Rick, really stop that. You know, that's all just red-baiting McCarthyism. All you have to do is read Glenn Greenwald, and he'll explain it to you. There's nothing real to it. It is all made up. There ain't no reality to it. Everybody's wrong, and Glenn Greenwald is right.
And RT is totally truthful, right? It's completely accurate.
Well, you know, as long as the checks keep clearing.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, I was amazed by the FBI special agent Clinton Watts, his testimony.
Oh, you mean where he said that Donald Trump is an active asset?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And then he also identified like three specific techniques that the Russians were employing to try to subvert the U.S. election.
Now, see, you know? There you go. There you go. You got to be careful, okay? Because sometimes, Rick, if you set your microwave too long, you can get yourself all ponerized. And it's pretty clear you've been ponerized.
I've been irradiated as well, I think.
No, just ponerized.
Ponerized, yeah. Okay.
You stand too close to the microwave, and the next thing you know, you're walking around, and you're not sufficiently loving toward Vladimir Pooty Poot.
Because
Pooty Poot is our friend. And he loves the new United States of Merca. And you know who he loves in particular? Well, he got interviewed on the CNBC because he was attending the International Arctic Forum in Arkhangelsk, Russia. And he said he thought that EPA head, Scott Pruitt, was a mighty fine feller. And he said that Russia will benefit from global warming. Now, never mind the fact that a bunch of his countries done caught fire and had the anthrax running around making people sick and people been dying and stuff. He said to CNBC...
And sinkholes
and methane pots and things like that. He said, climate change brings in more favorable conditions and improves economic potential of region. Today, Russia's GDP is result of economic activity of this region. So, he said that isn't about preventing global warming. I agree with those people who believe it is impossible. It may be related to some global cycles or some greater outer space cycles. It is about how to adjust ourselves to local communities get adjusted.
I'm totally
so if you don't want to be all ponerized, you have to stop acknowledging that climate change is real, because Pooty Poot loves everybody, and the only people who don't love Pooty Poot are the people who are all ponerized.
He's got it, Bob. I'm convinced there is no global warming. This is a giant hoax. It was, you know, manufactured by the Chinese or
it's giant hoax. It's giant hoax.
Right.
He's crafty. He's crafty, inscrutable Chinese. Just ask my puppet Trump. Or my friend Trump.
Jeez. Oh, I tell you.
But please be careful with that goddamn microwave. I hate to see you get all ponerized, Rick.
Well, I use it every day, so I think I'm beyond hope, Bob. I think you just got to call it. I might as well just.
Oh dear God, you're already too far gone. Next thing you know, you'll be saying the country would have been better off with Hillary Clinton as president. Jesus Christ.
Hillary, Goldman Sachs, Benghazi, the devil.
By the way, thanks to GK who finished off Steve, Karen, Cletus, and Twiggy's challenge, and then took us another $20 down the road. That means we are at $170 to go, and we have 38 minutes to get there. $170 in 30 minutes. 10 at 17, 17 at 10. One at 170, that would be two at 85, four at 4250, eight at 21 and a quarter. I'll get lost sooner or later without a doubt. But we got $170 to go. Thank you very kindly, GK.
Hey, Bob.
Yes, Sparky.
Have you seen the trailer for the new Al Gore movie?
No.
Well, it's going to hit the theaters in July. It's Inconvenience Part 2.
Oh, wow. Independence Day.
Inconvenience Day?
Nature comes and bats last. Lots of floods, like apocalyptic stuff, like that.
Well, that's one of the about the opening sequence to The Expanse. If you pay attention, you'll note that most of Liberty Island is underwater.
And so is Central Park. Isn't that Central Park that's underwater as well, Bob?
I think so. I think you're right.
Okay. Yeah.
Hi,
guys.
Hi, who?
Hi, Tracy.
Hey, it's Tracy. Yeah, there's Tracy. I was coming to Tracy. Hey, Tracy.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to interrupt you guys. You know, I didn't want to interrupt the white guys. You guys were doing so much talking.
Well, you know, we do that. That was cold. It was just a little cold.
You didn't want to crack the whip on us, did you?
No, I get paid too much money. You guys aren't paying me how much I'm worth on that one. So.
And that's not, boots aren't included with just your flat rate, right?
No, boots. You know, there's a flat. There's, you know, you got to do. You know, depending on which. There's several types of boots. There's the platforms. There's the kids. There's the patent leather kids. There's the patent leather boots. Then there's the kid skin leather thigh high boots. So you know, you gotta. And there's the price is accordingly.
And for the Bob Dylan fans, there's boots of Spanish leather.
Exactly.
And this is getting interesting now. Go on.
Yeah, go. We'll just listen now, Tracy. We'll just listen.
And now I got your attention, right? No. No. I was just listening to the different things about, you know, I loved how. Was it Sparky who brought up the thing about, you know, Trump just getting pissy because somebody deigned to ask about Mike Flynn and he got pissed off and just walked out of the signing ceremony. I fear for this country. I absolutely, positively fear for this country because, yeah. Like you said, Bob, earlier, nobody is going to have the balls. No Republican is going to actually have the balls to side with Democrats to make, you know, to bring it, you know, to bring up impeachment, especially when we have Democrats like my senator, Dianne Feinstein, who's actually on, has the audacity to be on the fence about Neil Gorsuch. I mean, Gorsuch.
Is she really on the fence? Because I try to call her office and her, I can't even leave a message. It's like disconnected.
She's on the fucking fence, dude. She's
like, what the fuck? What are you on the fence for? You know?
There's a list of like, I think it's either 13. There's two senators, of course, Joe Manchin being one of them, and
Heidi Heitkamp.
Yeah, they're going to vote for Gorsuch.
But sure.
Like 13 other Democratic senators that are on the fucking fence about Gorsuch.
And of course, Manchin came out first, right out of the gate.
Yeah.
But hey, yeah. you want a little shocker? This one probably knocked over Carol Baker with a feather. Her senator, Claire McCaskill, is not going to vote for Neil Gorsuch and will not vote for cloture.
And she's up for re-election.
Yeah. She's got guts.
Yep.
Wait, is she a Republican?
No, Democrat.
No. Oh, no. Oh. Claire's a Dem.
Missouri's very conservative, so that's the problem she has with voting with the Democrats on this issue. But I think she's channeling her inner liberal here, you know?
Well, she's channeling her inner guts.
Yeah.
It's all smoke and mirrors, because we know that go nuclear, Mitch. We know that's going to happen.
Well, he'll either
say what we do.
I mean, well, wouldn't the Democrats... Yeah. Wouldn't the Democrats feel really stupid if they kept their powder dry and let Gorsuch sail through, and then Trump and then Trump nominates a real whack-a-mole, whoops, get him, don't mind us, you know, somebody you got to chase down with a fucking butterfly net that makes Scalia look like John freaking Marshall. And the Democrats go, okay, we're going to use our filibuster now. And McConnell goes, like hell you are.
Yeah, you might as well call him on it now, Bob. You're exactly right.
If the Democrats, they are such fucking pussies. I don't get these people. We actually have a chance to actually filibuster.
And tell us how you really feel, Tracy. Go ahead.
I just wish back in the day when I used to do what I used to do, I wish I had at least five or six of these people I wish some of them were senators. So I actually, I took pictures so I can push some of that. Say, I will make phone calls and I will put this shit on Facebook, you bastards. If you vote yes. I wish Feinstein, I wish I had at least 10 of them. I wish back in the day that I had senators, that I played with senators or anybody in politics, and I had pictures, and I could say, okay, you know what? I'm tired. I know I said I would never fuck with you like this, but I'm tired, and I can't in all good conscience let you fuck up the country even more. Filibuster his ass. Do what you're supposed to do. You swore an oath to protect this country against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Do something. I'd do it. I would do it in a heartbeat. But
hell yeah, they done pushed you over the edge. It's too bad.
They didn't push me over the edge, y'all.
Yeah, but it's too bad. There was no recording devices back then. Damn it.
Well, you know, the thing is, I mean, with all of the investigations going on about, you know, Trump being a Russian agent and everything else, I mean, if you're not going to hold up a lifetime appointment to the Supreme Court by a guy like that, in this instance, then you're never going to filibuster. So,
right.
You know,
this is what I'm saying, if
you're not going to use that tool, then you might as well force Republican. Just give it to the Republicans then.
Just give it to them.
You know, just give it to them. You know, just, you know, and the filibuster is really an anti-democratic device that has been used for years by obstructionists, you know, to prevent like the civil rights laws from being passed. It was used for a couple of decades after the World War II, basically slowed down the civil rights laws. And it was used by Republicans most recently to block anything that got passed to Nancy Pelosi's House of Representatives.
It's supposed to prevent the tyranny of the majority over the minority, and that's why it even exists, right?
That's the theory, but people have used it in bad faith, and in that instance, it's used to basically prevent progress.
If there was ever a need to filibuster, I mean, this man is under investigation. His entire administration is under investigation. Mike Flynn just got denied immunity. Whatever he has done, it is so bad that they're like, fuck you motherfucker, you spineless, shiftless motherfucking treasonous rat bastard. You are not getting immunity, you fuck. So you got to talk.
The reason he's not getting immunity is at least twofold. First of all, you know, they wouldn't believe a word he says because the guy's like a world class champion liar, number one. And number two, they probably have, you know, him on intercepts with Russian operatives, and they have him on tape, so they don't need his testimony. He wouldn't add anything to the investigation.
Lock Flynn up.
By the way, just while we're just so we can kind of keep score here. So remember how when the Golden Showers dossier was released, everybody said, "Oh, that's a bunch of bullshit. There ain't no truth in it." And Trump said, "Why, I was never in that room at that time. I was never in that room at that time." Oh, really? What? Which room, Donnie? Well, it turns out that one of the guys identified as a Soviet. I'm sorry, old Cold Warrior. One of the guys identified in the PP dossier, the PP files, as a Russian agent is. That kind of came out in the last couple of days.
Fill in the blanks.
Yeah, that dossier is slowly going to be proven true with regard to everything but the Golden Showers party. At which point in time, you know, will the for-profit media go, "Wow, yeah, everything else is true, but I mean, really? The Golden Showers party? That's just crazy." Until Russia decides that it's time to release the videos.
There's a couple of reasons, in my observation, why somebody would seek immunity. Number one, either you're guilty or maybe not. Number two, you're either fixing to sing like a canary on somebody. You're fixing to squeal like a rat. So either way, man, don't grant it to them.
Well, look, the thing is, it would be a sucker move to grant it because... Right. One, the Congress cannot immunize him against FBI criminal liability, I don't think.
Well, what happened, Bob, do you remember the Oliver North case?
Sadly.
Where he testified in front of Congress based on immunity, and I think it was derivative use immunity, so anything derived from his testimony could not be used. They had to, like, obtain the information independent of his testimony in order to prosecute him. Well, they prosecuted him, and... You know, he was eventually...
And the conviction was overturned.
Was overturned because they improperly used information derived from his testimony.
So
that's the problem there.
Here's the other angle, though.
Okay.
We already know that, and this is probably at the forefront of Flynn's mind, it's already almost res ipsa loquitur that the guy is guilty of having been a foreign agent and not having registered as such during the time that he was chanting "lock her up," during the time that he was the closest advisor to candidate Trump, because he was working for the Turks.
Right.
I mean, that yeah. that doesn't that won't take any effort at all on the part of a federal prosecutor with so much as the brain power of a run over skunk.
Right. Right. Well, as you may know, to throw one more fact in, as you may know, he registered as a lobbyist after the fact for Turkey.
Precisely,
just a
which
couple
is
of weeks ago,
which
suggests that he's been contacted by the FBI or prosecutors, and he's going to make a deal of some sort. Whether that includes cooperation is another matter. I don't know. And so he was probably required to, as one of the conditions of the plea, he was probably required to register after the fact as a lobbyist. And maybe he'll get charged with a lesser offense. I don't know, because that's a felony.
Well, he doesn't have to file that status until he files his taxes, and we're still waiting for Trump's tax plan. So really, you know, he's just an average American, you know, until because they didn't vet anybody.
No, of course
not.
They didn't
vet anybody, so nobody lied because nobody asked them the critical questions before they got into those places. And I don't know if there's ever been vetting done over cabinet members, but obviously it needs we need to have something like that, considering what's going on. Tracy, yes, you're right. We are, on dangerous.
I mean, it's normally, you know, very, very careful vetting is usually done because cabinet appointees require a security clearance, and they have to go through a FBI background check to get a security clearance. And I think I went through an FBI investigation before I became a, I think even before I became an IRS attorney. And
yeah, but see, here's the problem with Flynn.
Later on.
Because he was a general.
Right.
He had a long-standing security clearance.
He did.
And so they didn't have to go back and check again or anything. So he probably felt comfortable going to work for the Turks.
Okay.
And the thing is, you can't, I mean, you really, I guess you can do it retroactively, but it doesn't look good. Meanwhile, I don't know if you caught the front end of the program, Rick, but I'd love to hear your thought. Now, on Trump's earlier tweet today saying that Flynn should seek immunity because Democrats and huge election loss bad for media. The question I asked at the early part in the early part of the program is that witness tampering or is that obstruction of justice?
You know, Bob, I think that he's just exercising his First Amendment rights. Don't laugh, but I don't think that's actionable by the government against Trump because he's not suggesting Flynn. You know, he can give Flynn advice about what he should do. He can't suggest. What he should say, what the truth is, that would be a problem. I had a witness one time who was told by someone, now the truth is this, and this is what you should say. Honest to God. And that, of course, that's like witness tampering and or possibly obstruction, you know, or if you, let's say, destroy records, you know, that's obstruction. Or spoliation of evidence is obstruction. So, you know, if the Trump administration is like trying to get rid of all of this evidence of, you know, of the collusion with Russia.
Ah, but if he's tweeting he's doing it.
You know. Yeah. Well, yeah, but the thing is, I mean, you've got a First Amendment right to express your opinion, Bob. So I don't think that's going to be actionable. What he says in a tweet, unless he says in the tweet now. You know, now Flynn, this is what happened, remember, or something like that. You know, if he tells a lie and tries to advise Flint, you know, what his testimony should be, or, you know, you better destroy that.
I don't
know. You
know I think it's a little bit slipperier maybe than you do, because by saying maybe. Flynn should seek immunity. That is effectively advising him on how to get out of possibly ratting on he Trump.
Okay, well, but you're building an assumption into that. You know,
that there's something to rat on him about?
Yeah, I guess so. Or because it's such a dangerous situation for you, you should request immunity. Now, if he says something like, don't worry about testifying, I'll give you, I'll pardon you, that clearly would be obstruction. Okay. But simply saying he should seek immunity, I think he can tell him what he should do. Well, as long as it doesn't come across as like a directive on his part, like an order, that would be a problem. So, but if he's just making a suggestion, a quote suggestion, unquote.
Rick, this may be a simple minded question.
Hey, where'd Tracy go?
If it is,
go ahead. No question, simple-minded. If you've thought of it, usually
is collusion an impeachable offense?
No, I mean colluding. Collusion is just—it's not a crime as such. It's just—it's a certain behavior. In this instance, colluding with another power to change an election result. Okay, that is, I suppose, that would fit into the crime of treason.
And this all falls back to what Bob was trying to say 3 or 4 weeks ago. This impeachment thing is not going to be as easy as we plan it out in our heads to be.
No, clearly isn't. But I mean, if anybody listened to the intelligence people testify at the, Senate hearing, sorry, Jill Stein, it's true. They would have been amazed at, how senators from both sides were, asking really pointed questions and showing a lot of concern about what was going on. And even little Marco, realized that, oh, geez, I was hacked,
I have to say,
the Russians.
I have to say I'm a little disappointed in the Horn Family Community Congregation. We've been talking about this for about 12 minutes now, at least. And I have yet to get an email or see anything in the chat room or hear anything from any of you saying, quit telling people how to impeach, Bob.
There you go.
I mean, I'll have to fire something off, man, just to keep it copacetic.
We can depend on a strict constitutionalist Roberts, to follow through and protect us,
Oh, you mean old balls and strikes, Bob?
Oh, yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Calls him like he sees him.
Yeah, as far as the possibility of impeachment, I realize that the odds are probably against it. But if this continues over a period of weeks and months and even into 2018 and so forth, it might get to the point where the stench is so foul that the Republicans will have no choice but to get rid of the guy. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if they can tell if a compelling story can be told and you can have like the equivalent of, let's say, Rosemary Woods, 18-minute erasure of the, tape, the Nixon tape. If you can have kind of an analogous kind of thing, kind of some easy to understand story about what was going on, for example, you have, the tapes are released of communications, let's say, between Trump and, his advisors, or between Trump and some Russian agents, talking about releasing the hacked emails onto WikiLeaks or something like that. I mean, that would if you have something that's almost like a smoking gun, the Republicans will have no choice but to dump the guy. I think
if I was in the odds making business, I'd say that I would have maybe tweak the odds of impeachment a little bit just from him deciding to go to war with 33 members of his own party.
Okay.
The Freedom Caucus.
So like what?
34, Bob. 34, Bob.
34, is it?
The Freedom Caucus is like the core of the Tea Party kind of damned, we're not going to go to be some kind of, John Bircher. That's
they're rebranded
tea baggers.
Yeah, They're rebranded teabaggers. I did want to point out one other thing. And well, before I point out one other thing, with 15 minutes to go in the program, we got $170 to go to finish March even, so that we can nudge the Norske and lick the Lithuanian. We got 15 minutes and $170 to go. I'll report on Monday as to whether or not we met that. But I wanted to point something out about the goofy signing ceremony, because I did go and find the video. And I've got it here. One of the people there, and the one who kind of ambles up to the podium after Trump petulantly wanders away. Oh, by the way, thank you, Charlene. We just got down to 120. Thank you very much. Is the Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross. Now, among other things, Wilbur has a problem in that Wilbur is tied in with that Cypriot bank that happens to be the favorite bank of Pootie Poot's pals who get in money trouble, or was on the board of directors or some such. But two, Wilbur Ross is also someone else. I mean, he's Wilbur Ross. His name is more likely to be remembered in these parts, but apparently it doesn't piss off the Trumpansies too much. They're still waiting for him to make coal, but they're waiting for Trump to make coal great again. Wilbur Ross used to be the owner of an outfit called ICG, International Coal Group. Anybody, does that ring a bell for anybody?
I know he was in the racket, Bob, yeah.
No, well, Bob, but I think you're going to tell us.
I think I am. Okay, if ICG doesn't ring a bell, does the word Sago ring a bell?
Yes, Sago rings a bell.
Sago mining disaster, yes.
That was his mine. That was his mine and his company that had been repeatedly cited time after time after time after time after time for God only knows how many safety violations, and then 13 people got blown up and one survived. Now, that was before Upper Big Branch, when Blankenship upped the ante to 29.
But how much do you have to pay for a hillbilly? How much do you have to pay for a hillbilly life in that situation, Bob?
They're pretty cheap.
$40,000?
Maybe $1 million a widder woman.
Okay,
is act of God.
Act of God. That's what they said. Act of God. Because see, this lightning bolt done come down from the sky on the orders of Almighty God, and struck the mountaintop, and the lightning bolt just kept on a boring through the ground until it got plumb down into the mine, where it could ignite some methane gas and blow up all them poor miners. Didn't have nothing to do with no safety violations. Didn't have nothing to do with the fact that the ICG thought of its miners the same way that, well, with less regard than a muleteer thinks of his mules. I mean, you'd have to go out and buy another mule. There's more people just wanted to go to work in the mines. I mean, Because Coe keeps lights on. But yeah, that was him that goes stumbling up to the podium, and I've watched it in without the audio. I thought I'd run the audio real quick, just to see, just so people can hear what went on. This is just freaking bizarre.
Thank you, everybody. You're going to see some very, very strong results very, very quickly. Thank you very much. Thank you.
It's pitiful. Pence goes to him and says, what about the orders you were going to sign?
Thanks, everybody.
Oh, geez.
And then just, and so then it's all just over and everybody walks away. And he's got this not in the world kind of look on his face. And he, you know, points at him like, hey, you're beautiful. And heads out the door, and Pence goes and kind of tugs on his coat, you know, Uncle Daddy. And Trump just keeps going.
So he never signed the orders?
Not in the signing ceremony, he didn't. Maybe he signed them later. Because, you know, he's all about sitting down and signing the signing statements at the table so he can then show everybody how good he writes his name.
Absolutely. Yeah. He writes like a machine. It looks like a seismograph.
Well, it kind of does, yeah. Hey, did Tracy just disappear on us?
She popped off unannounced and didn't say goodbye or anything.
She may have run out of a signal or some such. By the way, we had a note from Jenny in Wisconsin. Hello, front porchers. I just wanted to say hello to you and the regulars. I know I haven't been on the porch in a while, but I've been playing poker with boat captains and winning. Hopefully I'll win tonight, too. If I do, I'll send $10 your way, to sign Jenny. Thank you, Jenny. Thank you very kindly. Good to know you found some pigeons. That's the term, isn't it? Pigeons? Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say also that one of my friends from the Bay Area who now teaches at St. Olaf's, I think, in Tennessee and Memphis.
I thought St. Olaf's was in. I thought St. Olaf's was in Minnesota.
Okay, yeah. St. Jude's.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Anyway,
speaking of the Bay Area, can I make a plug?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, do. Yeah.
If anybody's not out there is not listening to Robert Reich's Resistance Report, they should check it out.
Yeah, it's very good.
He's a good
live.
He's
live,
a good man.
Live from Berkeley.
He's
on Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's used his tenure well for UC Berkeley, where he hasn't made up for John Wu, who's also a tenured professor there. But
he's in the law school.
Yeah. Well, and the law schools are the movers and shakers in our culture, right? We're a country of laws, right?
In theory, we are, yes.
Oh, you didn't see the air quotes, did you?
A nation of laws and not of men? Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we can change that to persons now.
Balls and strikes, but not so many balls in previous times.
Not so many strikes, actually. Lots of free passes to our leaders.
A lot of fucking strikes being called balls.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Thank you,
base. I was going to say my family was railroaders, and my dad got out, you know, just in time. You know, his retirement peaked in 80, and ever since then, between robotics, and we have a major hub here in Hermiston, but it's run with the same size of crew that when my dad retired in 80, and the rest is done with robotics, and it's more than tripled in size.
Wow.
So,
well, further mechanization. That's like the pension problem that Steve brought up a little bit ago. There's not enough miners actually mining coal paying into the pension fund to support all the miners who are drawing pensions. There's 120,000 miners drawing pensions, and there's only about 10,000 miners.
Wow.
So
usually you have to have at least three or four workers for everyone retired, don't you, to pay for the retirement of the workers?
Pretty good rule of thumb, Sparky.
Yeah.
That's catch 22 of it all.
Yeah.
I know my pension fund is being subsidized right now, so.
Well, I think.
Because you're a boomer?
Huh? No.
Because you're a boomer?
No, it's because my pension fund is part of my old local of Reading before we got merged with Sacramento. It's the old pension fund, and I stayed in it because it was a pension fund and not an annuity, and I was too invested in it to just ignore it. So I had to put in a whole bunch of money my last working years.
Who's it being subsidized by?
The international and the membership of that now works in the local union.
Okay.
There's like a 25 cents an hour sub. Contribution to the active members now to support our pension fund.
So the people of the United States will probably have to cover the pensions of these miners who got hoodooed. See, it was their money to begin with. I don't think we need to necessarily go through the whole what's a pension thing, but that's money that's earned, that's compensation that is earned and payment deferred.
Right.
But when the coal companies go bankrupt, they get to say, hey, Judge, look, we got all this pension money. It's ours, isn't it? And the judge says, well, it goes into the bankruptcy estate. And the pensioners will go, wait a minute, that was our money. And the bankruptcy judge goes, not anymore, chump.
The attorneys get to keep it because they basically, you know, fight over the carcass of the company is what happens in bankruptcy. You know,
exactly.
It's disgusting. I see it all the time, Bob, you know.
And oddly enough, the Congress has no interest in doing anything about that. Well, here we are at the end of the program and got to get out of here. It's about 4 minutes before the hour. I want to thank everybody who jumped into the conversation this evening. Happy Transvisibility Day, Clarity. Thank you for jumping in, Snork. Thank you for being there and moderating as you do each and every Friday, Sparky. Thanks to Billable Rick and Steve from Georgistan. Thanks to Larry. Thanks to Tracy for popping in. And hey, Moran Monday will be here before we know it. So I hope you'll be here for Moran Monday. It'll be the third day of April, and I'll let folks know on Twitter or whatever if we can manage to round up the last $120 to finish the month of March so that we can nudge the Norsky and lick the Lithuanian and not have to reset to January levels. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time in engaging in this conversation, whether you participate actively in conversation or whether you email, or whether you just sit and listen or download later. Thank you. You confirm what a special little experiment in broadcasting this is. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Sparky, in the chat room. Thank you, Steve from Georgistan, our utility moderator. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Back sitting in for Malloy starting Monday. Good night now.